I'm Gabe Ortiz, afternoon host at WIPR. Federal funding for public radio is under serious threat. An end to that funding would make the live streams like this one more difficult to maintain. Stand up for public media and help fortify WIPR's future. Find out more and donate at WIPR.org. Thank you.
And welcome back to Midday. I'm Matt Bush, sitting in for Tom Hall. Coming up on the next Midday, Tom speaks with Dr. John Chisar, the outgoing president and CEO of the Greater Baltimore Medical Center. They'll discuss the impact of his leadership and the current challenges facing the healthcare industry. Also, Tom talks with actress and Baltimore native Rachel Hilson about her current role on the HBO Max series Duster. That's coming up on the next Midday. Now back to the Midday News Wrap. We now place our focus on the protests and community reaction in the city of Baltimore following escalated ICE enforcement. On Wednesday, a diverse group of residents, community members, and advocates gathered for a rally and march in Highlandtown to support the state's immigrant community. WIPR reporter Emily Hofstetter was there on the scene. She joins us now to fill us in with more details. Emily, thanks for joining Midday.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Now, the protest was in part of in response to raids that happened in the Highlandtown neighborhood. Where did these raids happen and who was affected by them?
They're happening at a number of places. If you recall being on social media or following the news about a week ago, there was an incident that went viral because the White House posted it. That was at the Home Depot on Eastern Avenue. You can watch the video and ICE agents jump out of a car, they're in masks, and they tackle some men to the ground. That Home Depot has been the subject of, or has been the place of a number of raids, but they've been happening in multiple places, primarily throughout Eastern Baltimore, where there is a very heavy Latino population, but around other areas as well, particularly close to the county lines. There is a lot of suspicion that that's purposeful to kind of confuse people about their rights, depending on which jurisdiction they're in. So that's kind of the start of things. That's kind of a little bit of where it's happening.
I mean, it's interesting you bring up the confusion of all that. How much does this play into what people are talking about at these rallies? I guess the confusion, you said people not sure what, you know.
Well, I think, one of the things that has been happening at these rallies and elsewhere has been a lot of education about what people's rights are. Baltimore City and county, you know, they don't use the word sanctuary city because the mayor doesn't understand a sanctuary city as being, you know, just a place that is welcoming to immigrants, as Baltimore says they are, but rather a place where
it's a legal term.
Whereas there's a cooperation with the jail system. And that is not something that Baltimore has. But Baltimore has made efforts to be friendly to immigrants.
So that's kind of the confusion, I guess, where people are looking at this, because there is a lot of, you know, we've seen a lot of journalism about that. What are people's rights in these things? And I assume that's part of what you said. Education is one of the things protesters and the marchers have been doing. But what else are they calling for right now from the city, state, and federal governments?
A number of things. I think maybe later in this segment we might talk about the Baltimore City budget a little bit. One is just more funding from Baltimore and the state, even for support of immigrants, particularly legal services. A lot of that has started to be cut from the federal level, and there's much more of a need than there has been in the past. A call that you hear all of the time is ICE out of Baltimore, ICE out of Maryland. That I understand the city doesn't really have the power to tell ICE that they can't be in Baltimore. However, as the mayor has made clear, Baltimore City police officers, as part of their duties, are not enforcing immigration actions. They're not asking about immigration status. So those are some calls. And a lot of it really is directed at the federal administration for due process in immigration courts, you know, not just stopping someone outside of their immigration hearing, sending them to a detainment center and sending them away, you know, demanding that the federal government give everyone their proper day in court.
And briefly, tell us about the Highland Town neighborhood. This is where the raids have happened, where also the marches happened. You've been there covering a few things there over the past year. You know, tell us about that neighborhood. Why is it that neighborhood that's kind of where the center of all this action is taking place?
Well, Highland Town is kind of known as the sort of heart of Baltimore's Latino community. Latinos have been the group most impacted as far as numbers-wise by the pickups by ICE around the country, although I'd be incredibly remiss to say that, you know, immigration enforcement actions are happening on people from all countries, particularly also from Haiti, from parts of Africa, parts of Asia as well. But Highland Town is sort of the heart of Baltimore's Latino community. You go down, you know, parts of Lombard Street there, and you're only going to hear Spanish. So that has been one of the reasons. And again, a lot of those targeted ICE raids have happened in Highland Town, particularly the Royal Farms on Fayette Street and the Haslow International Supermarket on Lombard Street have been the number of a lot of raids.
You're listening to Midday on 88.1 WYPR. I'm Matt Bush sitting in for Tom Hall. We're discussing protests that took place this week in Highland Town as ICE enforcement has intensified. Of course, we're seeing them in California as well and all across the United States. I'm speaking with WYPR reporter Emily Hofstetter. While you're at that rally Wednesday, you spoke with Rachel Rush, a Baltimore resident who works at Creative Alliance. Let's listen.
Here for my amigas that couldn't be here today because they're too scared to come out because they can't. And I mean, he's a great guy. I don't know why they picked him up.
What else did you hear that day? You heard a lot of things, I know. Not as many got into the story, but you heard an awful lot that day. So share with us some of the other things you heard.
Yeah, and you know, for context there, Rachel was talking about a friend of hers that was detained by ICE earlier that day. I would say, you know, among the things that I heard was a lot of solidarity from non-Latino members of our community. I spoke with one gentleman, his great-grandparents were survivors of the Holocaust, and so he really felt like it was his duty to speak up for people who are vulnerable in this present moment. Delegate Robin Lewis, she kind of related to slavery and abolition and how, you know, she believes that it is her time to speak up because her ancestors were helped, and now it is time, she says, for herself to help other people. I also heard a lot of gratitude, particularly from members of the Latino community. People were coming out to their windows, out onto their doorstep, and just saying that they felt supported in this time when they've been feeling a lot of fear.
Now, previously, you've been covering the city budget. You're our City Hall reporter. And there was a very, you know, you can explain this maybe a little more, but there are hearings on all parts of the budget. Just take that through it first briefly so that we can set this up. You know, when the budget is, you know, announced by the mayor and has to go through City Council to approve it, what's sort of the legislative sausage-making process?
Yeah, sausage indeed. So it is the mayor's budget, as we've heard multiple times on this show in particular this year. It's a $4.6 billion budget. But there is a process that the budget goes to City Council, and the agencies all have individual hearings. The council members get to ask questions. And so I believe you're probably referring to the MEMA hearing. Is that what you're getting at
here?
Yes.
So there was a hearing particularly about the Mayor's Office of Immigration and Multicultural Affairs, which is called MEMA. You covered that. Tell us what happened at that as part of the budget process.
Yeah. I mean, so that was an incredibly emotional hearing. There were people crying during that. And it kind of started when so basically, MEMA has asked for more money than they were initially allotted in that budget. I've heard from sources that they're probably going to get that full ask, but we won't know until later this month. But you know, part of what they're doing is working with families and making sure that people have their paperwork set up. So, say for instance, a parent is deported, they have all their paperwork in order for, you know, next of care for their children who would be staying here in this country. And so there was a lot of demand and angry, upset council people, particularly Odette Ramos, was very emotional in her testimony and her demands, you know, that the city needs to give them more to do those
things. So, I mean, talk about they want a lot more money for that office right now. So, one, you kind of explain what the office does, but take us a bit more into what the office does. And how much more money did they want for it? And is that something that really can, if they get that money, let's say, and you say you think they'll get some of it, is that something that really can further their work, the amount of money they would get?
So the city council is asking for about $2 million for MEMA. The original budget proposal had them just under $1 million. So what MEMA does is they work with, they're not a legal agency, but they work with, that money goes to legal agencies to help Baltimore immigrants. So with more money, the idea is that more people could have access to legal services that MEMA can help set them up with.
And now to get that money, to take us again through sort of how budgeting happens here, if they get more money, does that come at the expense of something else within the mayor's budget? How does that work out? Should they get that? I mean, there's a lot of people asking for things, obviously, this year.
Yeah, I mean, it does have to come from somewhere for us to pass a balanced budget. And we're already trying to close an $85 million shortfall. So I have been talking to the mayor's office, and I do know they are finding places to try and make that work without causing other big problems. So, yes, it'll have to come from somewhere where I don't know yet.
And we'll get into more of your budget reporting right now. We were expecting to get some things this week out of that, but that kind of got pushed off. But you have to have the budget done, I believe, by the end of the month, correct?
Yes.
So take us through now where the budget stands in the city, because it isn't just, you know, what money MEMA may get. We were talking about fees and certain fines going up and all sorts of other things going on because the city's losing a lot of federal funding. So take us through where the budget sits right now and when can we expect, you know, the final numbers to come.
Yeah, so I was hoping it would go this week, but this is my third council budget, and all they know is that you can't know. So it has to be passed by June 26th. So they've had all of those budget hearings. Everyone has made their ask. So right now they're working on something called amendments, which is, you know, will some of these agencies get more money? Will they not? That's done through an amendment, and the council will approve that. You know, I think the big thing that I understand that's really the point of contention is the idea of these fees and fines.
So take us through what those are first that are proposed to go us through what that is.
Increased landfill tipping fees for per tonnage of weight, a small 13-cent increase on ride shares and taxis, an ambulance fee increase for non-Medicaid users. And I think I'm out of time here.
No, you have a few more.
Okay. And, you know, sorry, I'm blanking right now.
Okay.
I was thinking about time.
And that's all right.
But those are the kinds of things we're looking at.
You can go back and look at some of Emily's reporting. We've discussed this, I think, last week when the budget came out. But this is Emily Hofstetter, WIPR's City Hall reporter. Stay with her and her coverage at WIPR.org or with the Baltimore Public Media app as the city budget goes into to high gear here and has to be passed in 13 days. We'll get some of those numbers on those amendments and whether or not you know, MEMA, the Office of Immigration and Multicultural Affairs, gets more money. Emily, thanks so much for coming in and joining us today.
Thanks.
Coming up next on the Midday News Wrap, we'll talk a little baseball, not the major leagues, but one of Maryland's minor league teams, the Aberdeen Ironburns. I'm Matt Bush, sitting in for Tom Hall. More on Midday in just a moment. Stay with us.
You're listening to Midday on 88.1 WIPR, Baltimore's NPR news station.